If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Paul Listening Behind the Curtain. This is that opportunity following Mike Toomey's Laugh Tracks show, which you just enjoyed, to leave the world of politics and law for me and enter the world of theater and the arts. And I'm really excited because today we're talking to one of the crown jewel companies of Chicago's theater-related areas, comedy, and that is Second City. What a treat to talk about people involved with Second City. Pressure on everybody to be funny. let me introduce you. You now know that. Let me introduce you to who's going to be joining us for this discussion. Anthony LeBlanc is alumni. He's faculty. And actually, you were the interim executive director back during COVID days, right, Anthony?
Yes, I was. I was.
Extra pressure on you because not easy to do some training during that time.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very, very difficult, but we got through it, which was great.
Which is perfect. And Julie Demain Osborne joins us from Canada because there's Second City up there. We don't care about that one here today. We're all about Chicago, but we love Second City, Canada, overall, so not to worry. And we love Canada in general. And you, of course, are the vice president of the training center. And just the reason you are here is because I want to talk about the training of performers, and you handle that for every Second City, right? So being in Canada is kind of irrelevant to that point.
No, Toronto, New York, Chicago, and our virtual training center, which is global.
It's just so fantastic. And then we wanted somebody to demonstrate all of which you work for and strive. But we couldn't get Evan Mills, so instead I said, let's get my friend Tim Metzler. Just a side joke, because Tim, I've interviewed you before, I absolutely love you, and you are an ensemble member since like 2015?
Forever. I feel like I've been there forever. I'm in my third review process though right now, where Anthony is actually the director, so Anthony and I are currently working together, yes, it does feel like I've been there forever, though.
Right. Well, when you walk on stage, I'm just so excited. I try and get there for every, you know, main stage show for sure. We'll talk about what Second City does. And currently the current, this is the 65th anniversary of Second City. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that. But I'm so happy to have all of you here. If I say anything stupid, it's just because I feel the pressure of being with funny people. And it makes me feel like I have to be funny since I live in the world of politics and law. That's not an easy thing to do. Let's go back for a little history. This organization, this entity, this jewel, started back in 1959, of which only one of us was actually on the planet at that moment. Tim, what was it like back in 1959? No. But Anthony, let me come to you in that, because the name Viola Spolin and names like Howard Elk, Bernie Salins, these are names people in comedy know. Talk about the beginnings of Second City.
Yeah, Second City, you know, started back in 1959 and kind of came from this world, especially Viola Spolin doing these games and things with immigrant children in Chicago and creating this idea of how do you help people learn to communicate, especially when English isn't their first language. And this idea of play and bringing these people together is something that her son, Paul Sills, was like, hey, why don't we do this with our friends at the University of Chicago? We do theater and things like that and take this and play with this in front of an audience. So you had that group coming down, creating these sketch shows, but then also using the improv as part of their things, and that then developing into this wonderful thing we have where we use improv to create a show that then eventually becomes a sketch show that then becomes this awesome satire that we do in front of audiences.
By the way, out of curiosity, Anthony, a follow-up. The names of the shows, of the main stage shows or any show, they're always very funny, very whatever. What comes first? Do you have like the name of a show and write it? Or do you say, let's create the show and then go, how do we title this thing?
When it comes to the resident shows, those are things where we have the show and in the middle of that process, we're actually about to start doing that soon for the show I'm working on with Tim, where we start to create the title based off the things we're coming up with. And then somewhere in the middle of that show's process, we create a title that then we start to use and use that to develop and kind of finish off the show. But that's kind of the magic, and it all kind of happens at the same time. But there are some shows we do where we have the title beforehand, like for our theatricals, where it might be something fun like Rob Blagojevich, Rob Blagojevich Superstar, you know, and you then have fun with that. Or our Black Excellence show that we do, where we know the idea, the theme, before we do the show.
Tim, how many shows have you come up with the name for?
Oh, goodness. Oh, man. Yeah, I've pitched. I'm going to be honest with you, Paul, because I've been through the process of pitching the ideas of the names. I have a document. I've pitched over 2,000 titles for shows.
Wow.
And, Paul, 0% hit rate, Paul. Zero of my titles have been chosen. I take it as a personal affront.
And, do you know what? We just put a little pressure on Anthony over here to go, 2001 might not only be a space odyssey, it might be Tim's year.
Well, I might for that just not choose whatever Tim turns in. Likely they're blind submissions, so I won't know what it is until the end. So.
Well, there's a way, you know, it might be blind, but, you know, Julie, you're in Toronto, but here in Chicago, we clip a 20 to whatever it is we want to have happen.
Puritanical version of Canadians, you think?
Yes, exactly. And Julie, let me come to you because you are responsible for the training. Yes. Look, my partner has gone through Second City training, the entire course and all of that, and we'll be back to do more stuff. I want to just talk about the levels. What can anybody? Your answer is going to be yes. Can anybody do the training? Of course. But when somebody starts doing the training, Julie, is there a level to which you go, look, there's certain people who should be doing this, and certain people. I don't know, maybe working on cars, it might be something different that they should be doing, which is a great career. I'm not saying that, but
Everybody cut out for this? Don't go into the arts. What are you doing? No, everybody can access this art form. And certainly our core improv program is populated by folks from every possible vocation and every motivation for coming into the training. Some people are doing this to meet people, to have a great activity that is communal and collaborative and has a lot of laughing involved. Some people are doing it because their boss said, go take a class so you're less weird in meetings. Great reason to take an improv class. And then other folks do have some performance aspirations or develop performance aspirations as they're going through the levels. But when you come into, say, an Improv 1 class or an Improv for Anxiety Level 1 class, there is no expectation that you have any prior experience whatsoever in performance, theater, comedy. We're not asking you to come in because you're funny. We're coming in to give you the tools to unlock your creativity. So that's pretty wide open. If you want to get more advanced, we have those too, but you audition into those programs.
Well, I want to walk through that so you don't have to be funny. Tim, when you joined...
You didn't need to pause, Paul. You didn't need to pause.
Pause. Tim, when you joined Second City, did you talk about the club? What did you go through? Or did you come in because you are so funny anyway? It's like, I don't really need the training.
No, I think that my journey to Second City is one that other people should look at and say, okay, cool, I can identify with some of these mile markers here. I was in college. One summer, my dad was here for a conference. I'd never been to Chicago before. We came for a week. I took a couple of immersion classes, writing, improv, and then I went back and I finished college. But at that point in time, I was looking at grad schools for not funny stuff, really. Actually, it was a political rhetoric. I was looking for different programs like that. And instead, I had a crisis. I had to have heart surgery at the last second. And it kind of saved my life and changed my perspective of, you know, if I want to live a life that I feel is really meaningful, I need to do the thing that gives me an incredible amount of joy. And so I took a chance on, let's go to Chicago. I actually lived in Milwaukee. And I lived in my car in Chicago. So I lived at a cheap place in Milwaukee, and I'd drive to Chicago, and I'd sleep in my car overnight just to take classes here. And I just wanted to do something that was really full of love and kindness and joy. And you see that when you take an improv class. You're like, I don't know any of these people, but we are working together to create something that you just never understood was there before you tried to do it. So for me, my beginning was, I need to do something that really fulfills me. And maybe this is it. And it was. It is the thing that fulfills me.
You know, I can't kid with you anymore because that was such a powerful answer. And Julie, I'm just looking at your reaction to that. Did you know that story?
I did not know Tim's story, but it's so lovely. That is the story you're going to find talking to almost anybody on our stages, talking to most people in our classes. We're yearning for something connected, and we're seeing it a lot right now where people are looking for a space to be with other people and be reminded of their humanity and be silly and to have that escapism, but escapism combined with growth. It's
If I could add to that real quick too, after shows and stuff, oftentimes there are people who, you know, you just walk around, they'll come up to you and they'll be like, oh, I really like this thing. I'm thinking about taking a class, but I'm worried I'm too old, or I'm worried that like I'm awkward or something, or that maybe I won't be funny. And I always try and tell them like, no, you are perfect exactly as you are. You don't need to be a certain age. You don't need to have a certain identity or a certain goal in mind. If you want to do this, you should just do it. Don't let anything get in your way. Just do it.
Yeah. And one thing I know that for me, like especially working with kids too, one of the best like feedback I ever got was from teaching summer camp and having a mom write back to us and let us know that this one kid was really anxious about coming to summer camp that year. And it was between his junior and senior year. And he had so much fun and learned this world of like, finding his voice and playing with other folks in the class that it changed his entire senior year and his entire high school experience of being able to like make friends and all these things that he wasn't really able to do. And she wrote this note back to us when he graduated talking about how that had affected his life. So
I think, and especially in Anthony, you get to teach these kids. Kids, you get to teach these students. And so there's somebody may go from that, I don't want to do this, like the anxiety class. But Julie, I want to come back to you for a moment. I want to walk through because people know about Second City classes, I think, but they may not realize you kind of mentioned it. Oh, there's different tracks. So there is a class for anxiety, which is amazing. I know there's a class for autism, which is amazing. There's actually one that, as I was reading up on you, I didn't see, but I believe you have because we did something on WGN TV with it, which is working with people with Parkinson's.
Mm-hmm. We partner with Northwestern to deliver those classes. Improv is one of the most accessible art forms. We can modify it in any way that is needed to meet any participant's access needs. So we're a wonderful place for a variety of neurotypes, personalities, ways of learning, whatever your skill set is. Some amazing improvisers are super verbal. Some are really physical. Some are great character people. Some are storytellers. Tim said it too. Whatever you are is what you need to bring to this. We'll help you unlock that. We'll help give you the confidence and the skills to support expressing those things about yourself.
And you also have a class, by the way, I didn't know whether to be offended or thrilled with this. Humor doesn't retire for aged 55 people and over.
It's a very young start date.
Go ahead and laugh, Meltzer. You're going to be 55 one day. And wait a second till he says, I'm sorry, we don't have that class anymore.
Humor retired.
You need to retire.
Oh man.
What is it about keeping the mind sharp and all that?
And also sometimes creating a cohort where it's more comfortable immediately when you share some lived experience or some reference point with the other participants, because it can be a scary thing to step into. I think one of the biggest things that makes our improv anxiety classes so inviting is everybody walking in knows that everyone else in the room has already said, I'm nervous about this. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of the pressure off. So same thing going into, I know folks come in and like the person after the show who asked, am I too old for this? Am I going to go into a class and it's a bunch of 20-year-olds and is it going to feel really uncomfortable and awkward? We won't have the same reference points. No, it's going to be fine even if you just go into any generic class, but there can be a real joy and pleasure in entering a room where you know there's other people. In the same way that we also host programs and fellowships and jams that allow artists of color or queer artists to create in a space together where there are some shared reference points, there can be some real joy in finding community that way too.
Yeah. And before we take a break, I just wanted to talk about those fellowship programs. I was also thinking of being in that 55 group and saying to younger people, hey, want to go for a drink? No. Anthony, there's also a couple of fellowship programs that I know about. There might be more, but the Bob Curry Fellowship, the Victor Wong Fellowship. Can you talk a little bit about those? And then we're going to take a break. And Tim, I want to talk to you about the creative part of all this.
Yeah, one of the awesome things about Second City is always that place of finding your voice. And that's a large part of the kind of, I think, like the mission of Second City, finding your voice. Bob Curry actually came, one of the first things I did as a performer was working through a diversity program at Second City. Especially the Bob Curry and Victor Wong right now, it's this awesome place where you get to do all this intense training, but also get to be with people who are like you to create in a way where you don't have to explain anything to anyone else. So some of the scenes and the things and the shows that get put up are these awesome things, and also bring in an audience that gets to see themselves also reflected on stage in an amazing way, and investing in that and investing in Second City's future to be able to bring that diversity into the voice that we then put out, for everyone to come see.
Trivia, the Victor Wong Fellowship, primarily for people in the AAPI community. Can anybody name one movie that Victor Wong, there really was a Victor Wong, name a movie he was in?
Helped co-author the press release. I should know this.
Answer, Joy Luck Club. Lost Emperor, Golden Child.
That was the Golden Child one I was thinking of.
Yeah, well, you got to say it. Otherwise, the buzzer goes, Anthony. And finally, Bob Curry did win a Jeff Award for his work here in Chicago at the Northlight Theater for a play called Bozeman and Lenham. He tied in getting that award with another actor. Does anybody know who the other actor was he tied with?
Oh.
Danny Glover.
Wow.
Right? So with that, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, I just want to rattle off a few of the very famous people who have gone through Second City. Yeah, people like Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell. And really, really? Yeah, and it's not just them. We're going to talk about that and then the creative process of what goes on to make these shows happen. We'll do all that when we come back on Behind the Curtain. Stay with us. All right, we are back on Behind the Curtain talking about Second City, the gem of Chicago comedy and theater. This is an art form, and the good news is all of you can actually go to Second City and learn it. Just go to secondcity.com to find out. Okay, Anthony, lots of famous people have come from Second City. I teased it before the break. I mentioned Stephen Carell and Stephen Colbert. That's just the beginning of the list.
100%. That's for a long range from, you know, Bill Murray to John Candy, Dan Aykroyd, or Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, or more recent folks like Keegan-Michael Key, or Amber Ruffin, or Sam Richardson, or Tim Robinson. We've had this awesome history of having a lot of people from all of our cities that we've had shows, a lot of fun Canadians and Americans, and really awesome stuff. So,
yeah, and by the way, Julie, a lot of Canadians have graduated too. I mean, that we know from Second City. I mean, Eugene Levy, and I mean, you can go on and on with those names too. So Second City is the home. Is there a difference, Julie, if I were to attend Second City Chicago versus Second City Canada or New York? Am I getting the same quality, or is there a different flavor to where I am?
It depends on the cast, right? Because the unique personality of the cast members is going to shape the total voice of the show. The general format is the same. The collaborative process by which the art gets made, iterative in front of an audience, so it's always really alive. That's the same. There's always going to be scathing commentary about what's going on in the world, holding that mirror up at the audience and saying, like, this is us. Let's laugh at it because we have to. That's pretty similar. I'm sure there are stereotypes about how Canadians do it.
Yeah.
We probably apologize a lot
more. I get it. So, Tim, what, you know, you gave us your story of how you got there and all of that. So was any of that story part of people that came from Second City that you went, I want to be them?
Yes. When I was sleeping in my car, I would go to the late night improv sets, which depending on which stage, main stage or the ETC stage, almost every night there's a free third act after whatever that last show is. And you can go watch the performers improvise. And I remember seeing performers, I would go religiously, and I'd see people who've done things now who are really making cool careers. People like Chelsea Devantes, who worked with Jon Stewart when Jon Stewart was coming back and he had an Apple show. Steve Waltine, who I believe was working with Colbert. There were people that I just remember seeing who just kind of came in and out. And you're like, oh my gosh, this person is changing the world, and they're affecting it in ways that maybe we don't identify them currently as, wow, this is cream of the crop alumni of Second City, but they're very well on their way. So,
and
yeah,
affecting a lot of people. Anthony and Tim, or any of you can chime in on this, but I want to take just a moment, the creative process. So at some point, there's a new main stage show coming on, a whole bunch of people. Well, I'm guessing you've cast who's going to be in the show, but we don't have a show yet. Anthony, maybe that's a good question for you. I just want a sense of, here's how we do it.
Yeah, so we rehearse during the day and then we try stuff out that night. And that's one of the cool things about Second City is that we don't ever really close our show. One show becomes the next show. So we use the audience to test out our material and to know what's funny. So things that are great and that are working wind up in our show. And we use that third act during what we call our show process to try out stuff we might have just done that day for like 10 minutes, like, hey, go try it out. And then we meet afterwards, give those notes, and then that eventually becomes the show that you see. And that's the thing that's awesome about it is that everything that's in that final show has been tested. It's been up 50, 60 times, and we've gotten the response from a bunch of different audiences to see what's the best.
And Tim, so you're part of that creative process. When you go home, are you kind of drive the family crazy with, hey, we're talking about this. Let me run this by you. What goes on? What's your process?
Well, honestly, for me, my process is that I go home and absolutely ruminate on this. But I have a child. My wife is also a wonderful performer. She was in New York for a while. Beth, she's my writing partner. And so I'll come and tell her, this is the idea I'm thinking about. And she'll usually say, like, no, that's stupid. Let's do it like this. And then she'll give me the idea that I'm like, yeah, actually, that what you're correct. And so there have been a lot of ideas that you have to trust the people in your life who maybe they're not actively doing a thing. They will tell you the truth, just like the audience will tell you the truth about whatever scene you're doing.
Is your car big enough for everybody to be living in it now?
I still have the same car. It barely fits the car seat.
So you got an apartment or something because you went, there's no room in here for everybody.
Yeah, we eventually we had to get a separate van that we live
Julie, the shows that are coming up, this is the 65th anniversary, and I don't know, is this true everywhere that it, maybe you have to change the dollar form, but tickets on Thursday nights are $19.59. Is that everywhere?
Yeah, we're honoring. We have a 1959 special on some of our shows here in Toronto as well. Even though
I love it.
we're
What if
only
the what if
52
the
years
like the
old,
if the
we're
cha-
big.
like is that dollars up there? I mean, you got to change the currency there, right?
I think our dollar is worth like a third of your dollar.
Okay. Well, right now though, it might be
It
So right
changes
now it's the
for dollars.
2178 show, but we could
Yeah.
I'll look to the future.
It's a
And the
steal.
113th main stage review underway. Tim, that's what you're doing with Anthony, right?
We're doing the 49th ETC
Oh, the ET.
review,
Okay.
but there is a also a main the main stage review. These are both the primary residence stages, and they're both in a creative process right now. So Anthony and I are in the process of creating one of those.
And Anthony, the 65 years is happening in this very tribute. As I understand it, the show right now that's on stages, you're taking skits and material from years ago and letting the new folks present what the classic folks did.
So yeah, so for our, we have a show in the Up, and then all of our touring shows are also doing that. And I actually got to direct one of those shows. I went to Cincinnati, which is actually really fun, and really celebrating the giant history from actually all the locations. Actually, the show we put in Cincinnati did have a lot of things about folks in Toronto. We had a cast that had actually a Toronto alum from one of their
Well, Howie
stages
was
that
in
was
that
in our
show, right?
show. Yeah, 100%. And so we're kind of celebrating that throughout the entire company and the entire theater as we go out and visit and do shows all over the country and internationally.
Tim, do you guys try and break each other up on stage? I mean, it is improv. You get some fun. So is there an effort to, like, I'm going to make these people laugh?
Yes, and we all try and make each other break. Sometimes it's to advance the art form. Sometimes it's just to be really silly. For me, I have a couple things that are my go-tos that if other people want to incorporate this into their comedic lives, puppets, great. Just little weird puppets that you pull out of nowhere. I have a frog puppet that I use that I just sometimes that's the main character. And then also blood capsules, Paul. That's the real secret. Be in a
And
really sweet
sometimes,
scene, and then all of a sudden blood starts coming out of your mouth. And
those are always funny.
sometimes, yeah, and sometimes there's a prop that was gonna be in one scene, and then all of a sudden it comes out in a different scene, and you're sitting there as you take notes, and you're like, "What are you doing right now?" As
I
you
love
watch
it.
that play out.
And then Tim walks out with a blood capsule in his mouth for no particular reason.
That's right.
Yes. And
You
you're
guys
like, "Oh, okay."
You guys are so great. Thank you for joining me. Everybody needs to go to secondcity.com and see Second City, Wells Street, or on North Avenue, however you want to get into the building. It is such a treat. Tim, again, you are an amazing talent. Anthony LeBlanc, thank you for the work you do. And Julie, thanks for joining us all the way from Canada.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
We
Thank you,
appreciate it.
Paul.
Thanks, everybody, for watching us here on
Thanks,
Behind the
Kevin.
Curtain. We'll see you again next week.